The glass cow gives an insight into the inner structure of the body of a cow. We see the skeleton, the larger blood vessels and nerves, the most important inner organs in their natural size and position. The neurocranium of the cow has been opened on the right side in order to show half of the cerebrum. As we see, it occupies only the anterior, superior fourth of the skull, whereas the facial bones are elongated in favor of the masticatory apparatus. On the left side of the open skull, we see into the highly developed frontal sinus, which reaches right up to the horn process. The orbit with the eyeball forms the limit between the neurocranium and the bones of the face. The eyeball of the cow is smaller than that of the bull. On the left side, the lower jaw has been partly removed in order to show the roots of the teeth. As you will notice, ruminants have no upper but only lower incisor teeth. The parotid glands, which are to be seen on both sides, are situated on the lower edge of the jaw below the ear. On the exterior, it is covered by the submaxillary gland, surpassing the submaxillary edge with a bulbous thickening which can easily be mistaken for a lymph node. Depending on the bearing of the head, the larynx of the cow lies generally between the submaxillary branches. It is connected with a trachea consisting of 48 to 60 cartilage rings. The trachea of the cow passes below the cerebral vertebra and the chest entrance down to the chest cavity, where it branches off behind the heart, sending one main bronchus into each lung, which has several ramifications inside the lung. Behind the larynx, at the right and left side of the trachea, we recognize the thyroid gland. The bovine thyroid gland has a knotted surface. The two lateral lobes are connected with each other through a glandular bridge. The thyroid gland is an endocrine organ of vital importance for the normal functioning and development of the organism. The two lungs, of which only the right one is to be seen completely, reach from the chest entrance to the diaphragm. Part of the left lung has been removed in order to show the position of the heart in the pericardium. The heart lies between the second and the sixth pair of ribs, almost in vertical position, in the median part of the thorax. The pericardium is at a distance of only 2 to 4 centimeters of the diaphragm. The heart, therefore, is in close proximity of the second phrenic ampulla of the esophagus, the tegmentum. In the cow, the spleen, of which only the outline is to be seen here, lies between the diaphragm and the first phrenic ampulla of the esophagus, the paunch. In its upper part, the esophagus runs parallel with the larynx. Then the larynx branches off into the lungs, and the esophagus pursues its way alone to the diaphragm, which it transpasses and falls into the stomach. The first stomach of the cow, the paunch, has a capacity of about 160 liters on the average and is a highly developed organ. It occupies almost the whole left part of the abdominal cavity. Between the paunch and the diaphragm, in close proximity of the breastbone, lies the second phrenic ampulla of the esophagus, the tegument. In it, frequently foreign bodies, such as nails, iron thread, etc., ingested with the food, are collected. Owing to gastric movements, these foreign bodies sometimes pierce through the tegument or the diaphragm and penetrate into the pericardium or the heart, and provoke a foreign body disease which may be mortal. The other, the mammary gland of the cow, has been windowed in order to show that the udder is a hollow organ with several recesses in this so-called milk cistern the milk collects. The cistern reaches right down to the nipple. Just before the nipple ends in a point, the cavity grows narrow and runs out in a canal, the friction canal, which in the cow has one orifice leading to the exterior. Let us now have a look on the right side of the glass cow. The right lung is bigger than the left one because the heart lies a little more to the left than to the right side. Furthermore, the left lung reaches with its apical lobe to the left side and overlaps the left lung. Behind the lungs, yet in the abdominal cavity and separated by the diaphragm, we see the liver with a very big gallbladder surpassing the left edge of the liver. The liver has been pushed to the extreme right by the paunch. Of the three stomachs of the cow, the one which lies on the right side is the manyplies or psalterium. The different stomachs of the cow play an important part as food containers. In them, the food gets soaked, softened, and chopped. The abomasum is the real stomach. Its main function is to serve as food container. In it, however, also important digestive processes take place. The abomasum passes over into the duodenum, on which is fixed the great omentum, an abdominal fold with two leaves. This great omentum envelops, like a sac, the greatest part of the intestinal segments. It is also connected with the paunch. The great omentum and a great part of the intestinal loops had to be removed in order to show the uterus. The loops of the small intestine, as well as the other intestinal segments, are pushed aside during pregnancy. Normally, they surround garland-like the colon loops, which lie in the middle in a disc-like arrangement. Contrary to the loops of other animals, such as horses and swine, those of the cow have no pouches or bands. The cecum is not very long and its blind end points to the pelvis, whereas in the horse it points to the chest. The deeply furrowed kidneys are here lying one behind the other on the right side, as the left kidney has been pushed to the right by the paunch. The urethra, not visible here, reaches from the kidney to the urinary bladder. In the cow, the bladder lies partly in the abdominal cavity, partly in the pelvic cavity, depending on its filling state. The rectum forms the end of the digestive tract. In it, the waste products collect before they are eliminated. Under the rectum, in the pelvic cavity, lies the vagina, followed by the two-horned uterus. Of the two horns protruding out of the uterine body, the right one, the so-called pregnant horn, has been opened. We see in it the embryo with its envelopes. The envelope, which is next to the embryo, is the sheepskin. It is transparent and filled with a milky, filaceous fluid in which floats the embryo. The second envelope has longitudinal rows of villus tufts of the typical, for ruminants, cotyledonal form. These cotyledons stand strictly opposite the corresponding districts in the uterine mucosa, called the uterine knobs, into which fit the villi of the cotyledons. This is how the mother cow is connected with the embryo, or more strictly speaking, the uterus with the fetal envelopes, which are expelled after birth. The left uterine horn, the two oviducts, and the ovaries cannot be demonstrated as they are lying deep inside the animal. We have shown you in the glass cow the most important organs as far as they could be made visible from the outside.